referrals are huge. And when people know what you do and they know, hey, I don't necessarily know exactly what Todd does, but God, I know he's a creative real estate guy and I know he can help. He's a problem solver, right? That's what I get. Like, Jesse, I don't know exactly what the heck you do, but you should talk to these clients because I think they could use your help. I get that a lot. And they're like, oh yeah, we can do that. We can do this. But it came from an attorney. So the lead came from an attorney. So when you have, you know, a business network of other professionals who know what you do and trust what you do, it's really cool. And it was a very easy lead.
Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it. Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend, Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today. Hey, welcome back to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. With me today is Jesse Mills. Jesse, how are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome, man. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. A little bit about Jesse. He's a senior mortgage advisor. Been doing that for the last 15 years. Also is a real estate investor. Been doing that for the last 7 years. His passion is to show people how to live the most amazing life possible and to live each day to the fullest. He uses his experience, passion, and creativity to help as many as he can get into a home of their own, reduce their debt, and get on the path to financial freedom. We'll kind of dig into that a lot more, but that has to do with some lease options, seller financing deals that Jesse's been doing since 2011. You're also doing some wholesaling and other work. We'll talk a lot about that. So, with that said, Jesse, can you give our listeners a little bit more, about kind of what your focus is on today and what you're really excited about?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you said, I've worn a few hats for a long time, and, I'm that kind of guy, I'm sure like a lot of your listeners, right? Where, hey, that's a great strategy, let's go after that. And then, oh, wait a minute, that one makes a lot of sense. And you find that you like different parts of different businesses. And really how I got into real estate investing in real estate was getting to the mortgage business. Pretty early on in my career, in my young 20s, just outside of college, had a buddy who dropped out and was making like 60, 70 grand, and was like 02, 03. Said, hey, that sounds good. I can call a whole bunch of people and make $100 a day and see how that goes. I didn't even know what a mortgage was. But I got into business, and it's been one of those things where I love problem solving. And I've found that there's not a lot of folks who are in my spot where there's a lot of realtors, there's a lot of real estate investors, and a lot of mortgage folk out there, loan officers, brokers, et cetera. But not a lot of people that do both, that are on both sides of it. And it really has helped me have some kind of nice niches in my business. And it's, you know, allowed me to get into lease options, seller financing, very creative stuff where I've been able to look at something and say, hey, this is a deal, when everyone else said, no way, that's not a deal, and made money on it and got a property, you know, without having to go get a mortgage from someone like me, which is, ironic when I will not go get a mortgage or a loan whenever I can help it. Yet that's also one of my hats that I wear. So, so it's cool. And I think to give people those options and show people how they can get into real estate and maybe not just the way everybody thinks they have to get into it is fun.
Sure. Sure. So, so you're doing the mortgage thing and you said, so you're also doing this kind of seller financing stuff. Explain that. What are you doing with the seller financing? How do you set those deals up?
So we like to work with any motivated seller. And I have a team I work with. We do a lot of wholesale deals here in the Twin Cities. And we buy and sell a lot. We do a lot of rehabs. But we like to come across any seller who's looking to get rid of their property. We want to offer them a solution. And seller financing, lease options, rent-to-owns are a great way of doing that when you're running to that person who maybe owes a little bit more than, you know, you can make it work with a wholesale deal. When they maybe are a landlord and they still kind of like being a landlord because they got into it on purpose. You know, I usually say landlords fall into two buckets, right? An accidental landlord, they never wanted to be a landlord, which is a lot of folks that came out of the crisis. And then folks who are like, yep, I want to be a landlord. I want to be an investor, right? You're one or the other usually. No one's kind of in the middle. They want to get rid of it. They're done. We love talking to those people, helping those people. And then you also want to get more. Fantastic resource for more properties. But to have an option to present to anybody that's, you know, and I always tell people, it sounds really cheesy. It sounds like a sales line, but honestly, I sincerely mean it in every deal we ever do. It's got to be a win-win. And so if you walk away getting what you need and we walk away, it's a value to us or our partners, then fantastic. So you don't have to turn down leads, right? If they're motivated, let's make something happen with them.
Yeah. And when you're doing are you doing a wrap? Or are you buying the property? How are you doing these? Or maybe it varies depending on the deal.
Well, exactly. Yeah, it varies a lot. So we like to do a lot of seller financing. I like to buy on a CD when possible and then sell on a lease option.
Sure.
I've done a lot of deals that way. It's nice. And one of the things that I kind of fell into is doing seller financing and rent-to-own consulting. Because again, I have the mortgage hat. And so I'm doing loans day in, day out. I've got a team. We see the guidelines and rules changing all the time. And so a lot of folks will get into this and they don't really look at the exit until they're there. And they'll say, well, now it's too late, man. Like, you didn't realize that they need an FHA loan. Like, let's say you do a sandwich lease option, for example. Okay. So I'm going to, you know, an example, we're going to go get a property and I'm going to, you know, give you $1,000 a month. I'm the tenant buyer to you. And then I go find another tenant buyer and, you know, I charge $1,400 from them. Right. So I get a nice little chunk in the middle. Maybe I'm going to give you $100,000. We're doing really easy math here. $100,000 for the property and I've got it sold for $120,000. Okay. Well, I don't really have ownership in that property if I'm just a tenant. So I got to get ownership at some point, right? Well, if you're the tenant buyer on the end, so we got like an ABC happening here. If you're the last person in line, the domino, the tenant buyer that I found in my sandwich deal, and they need an FHA loan, which is most of the scenarios. That's what people need because of the credit scores and low credit scores. We can do it on a 580, sometimes even 520 with the bigger down payment. Bankruptcy, short sale, foreclosure, stuff like that. So there's a 90-day flip rule if you're doing with any FHA, right? Yeah. You gotta be entitled for 90 days.
Yeah.
Well, I can't tell you how many people just in the last year I've talked to and they've got some questions and, you know, doing some coaching or consulting on the lease options and they're at that spot. I'm like, well, you should have talked about this a long time ago before now, because now you gotta go buy it, right? Or get on title. And then be there for 90 days. So again, that's an example on a sandwich lease option. So I like to buy it. I like to do, you know, contract for deed seller financing if there is a sandwich type of deal. And in a sandwich type of deal, you don't do a sandwich deal unless there's some meat or some cheese, right? And you can take your pick which one's which. but meat might be the, you know, monthly cash flow, and cheese is the back end spread, right? I want some meat or some cheese. If they're both there, fantastic. If there's no meat or cheese, then we just, you know, we assign it. So sure. There's got to be a reason though to stay in it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an interesting, I've heard of that model before. I've never done it. But that's definitely an interesting model. So you're trying to take a little bit of cash flow, and hopefully a little bit on the back end when it actually does finally, you know, get out of your hands and into the end buyer's hands.
Yes.
On that.
Yeah. Day. And now when I say tenant buyer, just FYI, I'm saying that, for terminology, because it's very easy to understand. Obviously, when you're doing contracts and things like that, you do it the appropriate way. You're using the right language that's been approved by your attorneys, you know, your local and state attorneys, not just some boilerplate template. But I say that, you know, just for description purposes. So, but yeah, it's, you know, I picked up a 4-bed, 2-bath property, $10,000 down, and had a $40,000 spread on that. Made about $600 to $700 a month cash flow on that every month, and it was from a landlord, investor who lived out of state, and it was a sweet deal. And what I love about that deal is it was a good sandwich deal because there was both meat and cheese, and I got it for $10,000 down. And why 10? Because that's what I negotiated. It was almost a $300,000 property, so I was fine with 10. You know, yes, the no money down is great, and yes, those happen, but they're not as frequent. But I also love how I got the deal because it was a referral, right? Like you and I were talking before here, we started recording. I mean, referrals are huge. And when people know what you do and they know, hey, I don't necessarily know exactly what Todd is, but I know he's a creative real estate guy and I know he can help. He's a problem solver, right? That's what I get. Like, Jesse, I don't know exactly what the heck you do, but you should talk to these clients because I think they could use your help. I get that a lot. And they're like, oh yeah, we can do that. We can do this. But it came from an attorney. So the lead came from an attorney. So when you have, you know, a business network of other professionals who know what you do and trust what you do, it's really cool. And it was a very easy lead, you know, it's a very easy deal to put together.
So tell me again, so you got that for $10,000 down, then yep. then you found the end tenant buyer, and that tenant buyer gave you how much down payment?
They gave me $10,000.
So they gave you $10,000 down. Mm-hmm. So you're all in right now for zero.
Exactly. And that was in about, I don't know, 3 weeks probably.
Okay. So you had your $10,000 wrapped up for 3 weeks. So
yep.
Now you're making net cash flow on that deal of $600 a month?
Yeah.
So you made a net cash flow of $600 a month. And what kind of work during that time period when you're making $600 a month did you have to do?
During nothing. I did nothing.
You didn't have to take care of repairs, maintenance, you didn't pay the water bills.
Nada. It's all on the tenant buyer. Okay. Right?
Yep. So you're making $600 net with no work. Now you did obviously some front end work and you're gonna do some back end work as well, but no work during that. When you went to sell it, how long did you hold that property?
It's about, I think about a year and a half, roughly a year and a half.
So about
most of the clients that I work with, when someone comes to me or a referral or through our marketing who cannot get financing, it's usually a minimum of a year up to 3 years. So between 1 and 3 years.
Okay. Do you, and you set your contracts up to kind of accomplish that or?
Yeah. Well, and so it depends. Sometimes we'll do a lease option or a rent to own. And sometimes we'll do seller financing. So it depends on the property.
Sure.
It depends on the condition, depends on the down payment. So, you know, I like to try to make it as easy and kind of cookie cutter, but it's very hard to do that because there's so many variables and so many circumstances. But yeah, we try to, if it's a lease option, we try to time it. And then we're always extremely favorable in doing an extension if it doesn't work out. And it's funny, I like this example and you're going to get there. I'll let you get there. But this is a good example of, I get all the questions I get all the time about, well, what if this and what if that?
Yeah.
So keep going, because I know where you're going.
Well, my final question is, you know, what spread did you have when you sold it? You know, you said you bought it for about three. What'd you profit when you sell it? Not including your cash flow, of course.
Sure. So that particular buyer did not buy. And they backed out.
Okay.
They backed out. And they ended up moving out of state, had some medical things going on that were not happening at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so they literally forfeited their deposit.
Okay. So they gave up their $10,000. Mm-hmm. And they also obviously don't get any of the cash flow or the payments that they made.
Yeah. Yep. They're just a tenant.
So then what'd you do?
2 to 3 weeks later, I've got a new tenant/buyer in.
Okay.
With $15,000 down.
Okay. So now you're plus 15.
Now I'm plus 15.
And then are you still cash flowing about 600?
I lowered it 100 for them.
Okay.
Because of their scenario.
Yeah. You're about 500.
Yep.
So but you have some flexibility because you already, now just for the listeners, if they haven't done the math, you've already made in a year and a half just under $11,000.
Yes.
So, yep. So you have definitely some margin there to be able to work with them. So how long have they bought or what happened there?
So the second folks, mm-hmm. again, this is a great example. The second folks ended up going through some marital issues and okay. they left and they moved out of state.
And they moved.
They moved.
How long did they live there for?
I don't know why I'm telling you, like probably one of my worst examples where two folks in a row did not make it because we've got an extremely good success rate.
Yeah, we'll talk about that too. Okay.
Let's keep on going
with this example because this is so far pretty fun.
Because we've got about probably 75-80% is our success rate. And doing this since 2011.
Okay.
Okay. And doing between a partner and a mine, I mean, you know, well over, I guess, 100-120 deals.
And that's obviously the ultimate goal. I mean, you're not doing it to hopefully that they fail. I mean, obviously when they do fail, you do okay, but you are taking some risk at the same time.
Correct. Correct.
But yeah, so your ultimate goal, obviously for the listeners is you want the success stories.
Absolutely. Anybody,
if you don't have success stories, it's going to be hard to keep your business going.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, we all know how testimonials go and word of mouth and right. You know, the one unhappy person tells 7 to 10 people and right. 10 happy people don't tell anybody. I said, especially in this business, it's really true.
Yeah.
And you know, so yeah, anyone who has worked with me or works with me, who does, you know, real estate, any part of the country we're talking about, I have a business. I help people set this up right. So I look at it and say, hey, this is how long they need to get financing because of their credit score, their debt to income ratio, their job history. They get bonus, they get overtime, they have a part-time job. You know, 1,200 pages of rules and guidelines that nobody should know unless you're doing like loans day in and day out and you're that crazy. Nobody knows that stuff. And those are the gotchas. So So we set up our clients and then I help other people set up their clients to do the same thing where they can say, hey, you know what? We worked with a mortgage pro who says, this is what you need to do. And based on your specific situation, you need X amount of time. So again, I'm starting off ironically with a deal where it's very, very, very rare. It doesn't go the way, but I like to, this is one of my kind of fun example deals because people always say, Jesse, what if it doesn't work? And I say, you know what? If it doesn't work, honestly, as an investor, I try to set these up. It's still a win. You know, I want everybody to buy. I want them to buy on time. I give them extensions. Why would you not, right? If I'm making 500 to 600 a month cash flow, why the heck would I not extend it?
Yeah.
I would extend it as long as they need.
As long as we can keep making those payments.
Yeah. They're taking care of the property. They're treating it better than any tenant normally does.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing all the lawn care, snow removal, maintenance, all that stuff. You know, shouldn't say maintenance, but we'll do a warranty. Okay. So we like to do like a home warranty on it and cover a lot of that. But or if it's a seller financing deal, then they are responsible for all of it and they're improving it. So I actually left out the first client put in a brand new chain link fence around the entire property.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I got that thrown in, and I said, unfortunately, you chose to install that, and you chose to not purchase it. So, but
I had a tenant that did very similar to that. He put up a privacy fence. As a tenant.
Yeah.
Did some nice, really nice landscaping. I mean, like extravagant waterfall stuff and everything. Mm-hmm. Tenant, and he left. But he wanted to buy the house, and we had had conversations. Yep. I definitely would sell it when you're ready to buy. And eventually, he decided, I'm not going to buy this house, and we want to live farther out.
Yeah.
And
wow.
So it was great.
Yeah, it worked out well for you, right?
That's rare, very rare. Yeah. For tenants, at least.
Absolutely. But it worked out well for you. And so that's the thing, right, is I want to give them, whether it's my clients, or tenants, or someone I'm working with and kind of helping with coaching and consulting and how to set this up right, mm-hmm. I want to give them every single tool possible on how to do this. I go through and I got this big, 33-point checklist I've made over all the years of things that have come up, and I add it to my checklist. And I go through this checklist of everything that I should have asked before that I didn't, that now I know to ask, and, the things that I didn't think mattered, that mattered. And then I do a before and after snapshot. So I go, here's where you are now, here's where you need to be. And again, I don't have a crystal ball. I'm not, guaranteeing anything, but in my professional opinion, this is how long it should take to get there if you do these steps. Last year, I created a home buyer course. It's an online course with 52 videos. I think it's 6 hours because I get a little chatty, obviously. But it's 6 hours of video going through everything in the home buying process, kind of even for just your traditional buyer and mortgage and stuff like that. So I give them that. So like you're saying, if they back out, they backed out, right? They chose not to buy, but it wasn't because, we told them or gave them the advice of what they should do, and then they did it and it didn't work out.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Which is always a risk. It's always a risk, but.
Yeah, right. It wasn't because you failed them. It was because of something else. So in this case, both cases is they moved somewhere else, mm-hmm. one through divorce and the other through, you said, some medical stuff, I think.
Yeah. Which are kind of, again, and it's funny, it was on the same property, but very, one-off situations, really.
Yeah.
That don't happen too much. So then what I did is I just, I listed it and I sold it at retail because, hey, now's a good time. And I wanted to take that money and put it into some other projects.
Sure.
And we just moved it. And I think bought it for $260, sold it for $305.
Okay.
So.
So, closing costs, obviously, and stuff like that. But roughly, you made, $40,000, $35,000-$40,000 mm-hmm. on that sell.
After getting 10 the first time, which replaced my 10, and getting an additional 15.
Yep. And
cash flow the whole time.
Cash flow the whole time. How long did the second tenant stay? Do you know about?
Yeah, about a year.
About a year.
Yep.
So that's another $6,000.
Yep.
Bucks. So 17 and 15. So you're at 32. Plus the 35, so you made roughly $70,000 on the deal.
On a property that was owned free and clear by somebody who lived on the West Coast, and it was referred to me by an attorney.
Yeah.
And I negotiated $10,000 down. Like, all of those layers are just, they're great. You know what I mean? Because any one of those things is a good deal in my book.
Well, and it was a win for the seller too, because he didn't have to deal with anything. He got his payments, I'm sure, like clockwork.
Yeah. Yep.
And he never once. So you must have set up a long enough term with him. Is that part of the key to start? Or how did you set up the term with him?
Yep. So I did a purchase on contract for deed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I set up, I set up 3 or 4 years. And this was actually, prior to really, you should be doing a minimum of 5.
Sure.
Right. At least in our state. But yeah, I knew you always set up more time than you need in case something like that happens, in case you need to put money into the property, in case, the market goes up and down and we need to go back up again. Yeah. And, you know, so, but in that point, right, my balance is going down every month anyways. So it's, you're going to be pretty safe in these types of things. And the investors that I work with that, you know, say, hey, Jesse, I don't really understand kind of your world, but I'd love to get into it. And, you know, how can we do some things together like this? It's all about when do you need that money back, right? Because most people flip and they want to get quick money and get it back ASAP, especially if you're using hard money or private funds or your credit cards, right? You got to pay those puppies back, pay them off. Or it's a long buy and hold and it's just, it ain't that sexy, but it's there and it's passive income. So I like to do something kind of right in the middle. I call it the slow flip. And it's a fun strategy.
Yeah, definitely. That's the other thing I didn't add into the equation is you paid down some of the principal, unless you did an interest only, which it sounds like you did a principal and interest payment to this.
I did. Yep.
So you also paid off some of the principal.
I negotiated an interest only, but I paid extra every month.
Okay.
So I did negotiate that. I could have done that, but I paid extra.
Could have done that. Yep. So we also have that to add back in. So maybe another, I don't know, who knows, $5,000, $8,000, whatever that adds up to be. A fantastic example. I really like that because it really shows the power of what you do. And of course, like you said earlier, the point is to try to, you know, get them to actually buy the property. But even when they're going to buy the property, you're definitely making money on it because you're going to get your down payment back or potentially even make a couple bucks on that.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be cash flowing, mm-hmm. and you're going to be selling the property for more than what you paid for it. Plus you've got a tenant that's improving the property throughout. So hopefully if they do that, then it'll appraise really well. You don't have to worry about the appraisal value. What happens? What kind of protections do you put in place? What do you do if you've got a bad tenant buyer that doesn't improve the property and maybe does damages to the property? What do you put in place to where you can essentially evict them?
Yeah, great question. Great question. So number one, I'm not an attorney, right? I'm not a CPA. So I'm not giving legal advice. I'm not giving tax advice, but I would say make sure your contracts are as bulletproof as you can make them. Make sure you meet with a local real estate attorney, maybe more than one, and make sure it's blessed by them and someone who's willing to, you know, sign. Whenever we do any closings, if it's a seller financing, then it's always a title company. But even on our rent to owns, we'll do a title company or we'll do an attorney. And I like to have the attorneys who did my contracts, who are notarizing and stamping, and you know, because you're all in. This is something you're blessing. But get that set up right from the get-go. And then it's really about screening. And I always laugh, and I'm sure you've heard this a million times, you know, as well, and all the listeners, you get that one, you know, your cousin, you sat at a family reunion who's like, oh, I was a landlord once. It was the worst thing I ever did. It was so dumb. And they trashed the house. And, you know, well, then you get into it, right? So, well, did you did a credit check, obviously. Well, no, we didn't do a credit check. Well, you did a background check, right? I mean, you maybe did a little, snooping on Facebook. I mean, did you get into stuff? Did you do as much due diligence as you can? Did you talk to your insurance agent to make sure everything is covered and what's not covered? Did you get an umbrella policy, right? And if you do so much on the front and you can avoid so much of that. The other thing is the people, and again, in my experience, okay, that number one, no one's trashed a house. I can say that, knocking on wood, no one has trashed any of our properties or any of my partner's properties, mine, anybody's, since doing this in 2011. Now, some people have left it not as nice as it was when they got there, but it was like a rental, right? You know, you're cleaning some carpet and, repainting and maybe a window was broken, you know, because of one of the kids. Okay, well, guess what? I'm collecting anywhere from 3.5% to 5% down, sometimes 10 or more. It's okay. I can handle that, right? So you want to make sure that you're covered kind of the front end and the back end, but you still want to check in. I mean, the beauty is that this is like landlording on autopilot, but you still don't want to just forget that it's there. You want to check in. hey, can you stop in and see how things are going? And again, the thing that I do is I really want to spend a lot of time with my buyers on the financing side, on the mortgage side, on the credit side, being their guide to help them get there. Right. So it's not like, hey, see you in 2 years. I hope this works out. Good luck. It's like, I'll talk to you probably in, you know, 30, 60 days. Yeah. Are we, you know, doing some credit repair enhancement if we need to, you know, if their taxes need to get maybe redone because of how it looks for financing. I'm talking to their accountant. I'm talking to the CPA saying, hey, we need their net income to be, you know, do whatever you got to do on your end that is done right. But, you know, maybe don't write off so much next year or whatever it needs to look like. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, good points.
Yeah. There's a lot to do. You can set it up. And if something does happen, you don't have 1 month's rent, right?
Yeah.
You get a lot more than that.
Yeah. A lot more than that for sure.
Yep.
10,000, 15,000, whatever it is.
Well, and I think, you know, on the rarest occasions when things look like they could get bad, I think maybe once we did a cash for keys, right? So just, and I don't think we even needed to, but it just felt better to say, hey, look, you know what, we want to help you get on to the next place. This one isn't working for you. So here you go, right? Here's a little money to go to the next place. So
when you're buying one of these properties and doing that, is there like a percentage or, you know, let's say I can rent this house for $1,500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
What are you getting on the lease option? Are you getting $1,500 or are you getting less? Is it pretty similar to the rent amount?
We typically get more, but we don't try to get a lot more. I think there's always going to be, there's more value, right? When this could be your property and you don't have to move multiple times. Yep. And you're, you know, establishing roots in a neighborhood, in a community, there's more value to that. So, yeah, so we can typically get, you know, I would say maybe 10% more, 5 to 10% more on the rents.
When you're doing that, is part of that going to their payment? Is it a payoff, principal payoff?
Again, seller financing, obviously, of course it is, right? Because that's how it's set up.
Yeah.
On a rent-to-own lease option, we used to do that, but there's a lot of debate on that, whether it's an equitable mortgage.
Sure.
And, you know, it's a rent with an option to buy. It's two separate contracts.
Two separate contracts.
Right? You're renting it, and you have the option to purchase it. That's it. This is not, you know, an equitable mortgage. It's not a contract for deed. Again, we do those types of deals in those circumstances, but it's done that way. So what we will do is we will pay for closing costs, which sometimes could be a similar amount as if you were giving rent credits, right?
Yep.
So $300 a month rent credits times, 12 months, $3,600. So we might cover $3,600 in closing costs, which is completely and totally acceptable to do that. That's the seller's choice to do that. And as long as you're abiding by, you know, the mortgage rules, which again, I know that. So, you know, are we staying within, you know, no more than 6% of the purchase price for FHA or 3% typically for Fannie Mae if you're under 10%.
Now, so you're wearing two hats, right? You've got the mortgage hat and you've got this investor hat. So you've got, you're helping people and then you're the shark, right?
Yeah.
But it's true. So you've got to make sure that you're keeping... You're not the shark, right? You've got to make sure that you're not taking advantage of these people. You've got to make sure you're doing things right. What are you doing to set yourself up so you're never going to be in that position? Obviously, just being an honest person is number one. But what are you doing to kind of ensure that you're not crossing any boundaries?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, number one, I mean, I don't mix the two. Right, I've got the knowledge, and I'm in the mortgage business, and I'm doing that, but I'm not doing both. I tell people I'm not that greedy, nor am I that stupid. I don't do both. I have a team, which is great, right? So I have teams that I work with, and I have mortgage partners that I trust, you know, and they know my business, and I train them on, you know, because not every investor is the same. Not every realtor is the same. Not every loan officer is the same, right? So there's a lot of folks in the mortgage side, they don't really understand this type of this side of the business and how to make things work. And they don't want to, and they don't need to, right? They deal with people who have good credit and can get a house. So I have a team that I work with, and I keep things separate that way. And, you know, the advice.
So you're not taking out, you know, somebody that you'd set up into seller financing or rent with the option to buy, and you're not the mortgage broker then. Is that what you're saying?
If it's someone I'm helping as like a consulting person,
sure.
Right. Then I'll do the mortgage for them. If you said, hey, I've got a property and I'm putting a rent on buyer in it, Jesse, would you help me with this? Right. I want your opinion on this tenant buyer. Does their story make sense? Does it add up?
Yeah.
Do you think they need 3 years? Do they need 6 months? Like that's one of the things that I do to help folks with that. So in that situation, yes. I would, or someone on my mortgage team would be happy to do that if they want to, and they don't have to, right? But if it's someone that is in one of my properties, then no, then I'm not the one doing the loan at all.
Yep. Okay.
Yep. Cool.
Anything else that you kind of make sure you're doing to obviously keep the two separate?
You know, I think I like that you said, right, with the shark or the wolf, and I mean, that's how it looks. And so we always, in every circumstance, want everybody represented by a professional. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the other things too, especially people starting out getting into this, might want to just try to be as, you know, cost effective as possible and, you know, want to just try to run the show themselves. I want everybody, and again, it depends. I mean, I've had multiple realtors this year come to me. I had two or three in 1 month. With buyers that they thought were good to go and fell apart last minute because of something, right? They were pre-approved and turns out they're not. Hey, it happens. And, but they were a good candidate for rent to own. And so we were able to help them with one of our properties. And in that situation, I still like, that's your agent that's representing you, right? Or get an attorney that's representing you, get everything reviewed. I want it all. Everyone's protected. Everyone's using a professional.
Yeah. Good points.
You're right. I mean, that's we run a business that, you know, and I haven't been doing this for that many years. If I was doing it the wrong way, I should say, right? You wouldn't still be doing this,
right?
7-8 years later, if you're doing this wrong, and unfortunately, there's a lot of people that do this the wrong way. And unscrupulously, and it's pretty horrible. You know, we give people a second chance, sometimes a third chance. And like we kind of said earlier, I want to give them so many tools and opportunities. If they decline it, if they want to move, that's fine. That's life. That's their decision. But we want to set them up to win every time.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep. Awesome. Yep. Hey, I want to interrupt this episode real quick to talk to you about Nate Armstrong, our sponsor. Nate Armstrong, he's with homeinvest.com, and you want to get to know Nate. So go to homeinvest.com and just connect with Nate, talk to him, learn about his operation, what he's got going on. He's a turnkey provider, and it may not be right for you, but it could be the perfect fit. So it doesn't hurt. It's a free call, free consultation, just to figure out, you know, what they do, what they have to offer. And worst case is you're going to meet a great person who's really well educated in real estate. He's done a ton of different real estate strategies, and probably he's going to teach you a little bit, even on a short conversation with him. So go to homeinvest.com and connect with Nate's company. You're definitely not going to be disappointed. It's worth it. So thanks. And we'll get back to our show. Talk to us about one of your bigger mistakes that you've made. And how did you learn from that?
I would say, God, I've been pretty lucky to not have like here's one, right? I'm trying to think of, there's nothing that jumps out at me big time. I would say with some of the folks when I started out doing this, again, not so much on the mortgage and credit side, but just on the things that I didn't ask, right? Because I was new. I didn't know what to ask. Where maybe, you know, a year later or two, I'm like, hey, I should have asked that because, you know, they put down $10,000, but it was all from mom and dad and they had $500 in the bank, right? So they have a spending problem. And, you know, reviewing a few months worth of bank statements would show that. And so I could see that maybe this one wasn't going to work out. Again, we've got a very good track record, about 70 to 80%. I think, you know, there's stats all over the place, but from what a lot of folks say nationwide, it's like 50-50 or even less than 50-50, right? Because you just got, you know, Joe homeowner who says, I can't sell my house, I'll throw it on Craigslist and, you know, I'll do a rent owner, a contract for deed. And then Sally comes in and lies through her teeth and he doesn't do a background check, he doesn't do a credit check. And he has no clue that, you know, for whatever reason, maybe she's got a business and she's selling Arbonne and she makes negative $5,000 every year. Well, we got a lot of things that got to change here. Oh, and the bankruptcy you forgot about, you know. And I mean, you're years out. We gotta figure out all these different messes. When you're working with professionals who understand all the different aspects of the business, you can try to eliminate a lot of that. So again, that's kind of got into my checklist of, okay, hey, you know what? How much do they have? And it's kind of silly, but that's something we go through on the mortgage side all the time, right? You know, is what funds do you have? What funds are you getting as a gift? But it makes a difference. So I think just some things like that. I've never had an, oh my God, that's a bad scenario. You know, like this example I gave you, I like to share that because people will always say, what if it doesn't work out? And that's an example where it didn't work out twice and worked out pretty darn good for me. And again, for the folks, I feel bad that it didn't work for them, but that was their choice. So it wasn't, you know, they chose to move. So
yeah, it wasn't anything you did.
Yeah.
What wasn't your failure? I actually want to go back to some of this property stuff. How are you finding your properties? What are you guys doing? You said you're wholesaling, you're doing some of this, you know, seller type financing. What are you guys doing to find the properties? Because we're in a like white hot market in the Twin Cities, which is where you're from. So how do you find these?
So we do various marketing. We'll do direct mail. We will do a lot of, we're actually kind of ramping up our cold calling. So, you know, a lot of things that I'm sure other investors are doing. What I have found is it comes down to the consistency of it. And I mean, you know, it's a cheesy saying, but the fortunes of the follow-up, and it really is. We just closed on a deal. We've been talking with this person for over 2.5 years.
Wow.
And we just closed it. And I think, you know, if it wasn't for the follow-up, the tenacity, but our systems, all of those things, you know, wouldn't have happened. And part of it's timing, part of it's luck. You know, it ended up having to go through through probate and that had to get done. And then they didn't want to sell when they wanted to sell. But it's pretty cool. So I think doing those things, the lead gen consistently is what is going to get a lot more success. But sure. A lot of direct mail, a lot of postcards. We have, again, it's really cool and a lot of people know what you do. You know, and I like that because we have a lot of folks that they'll just call and say, hey, I drove by this house. We got 2 deals 1 month. Hey, I drove by a house and there's grass up to my knees. You might want to check it out. We checked it out. They own multiple property. They're trying to flip it and it wasn't going well. We said, we'll just take it off your hands. We'll buy it. So let everybody know what you do, right? Even if you're brand new, let everybody know that you're a problem solver. And to kind of go back to that one deal, that's one of the things I like about it a lot is you could have horrible credit, right? You could go to a bank and get laughed at because you can't finance a Snickers bar. That deal that I did, where I bought at 260 and sold at 305 and, you know, the 10,000, the 15,000. All I had to do was get on the phone with the seller and what's your issue? What's your problem? What are you trying to get done? What are you trying to accomplish, right? What's their hot button? You know, talk 10%, listen 90%. How can I help you? Okay, great. What if we did X? Would that work? Yep. Right. So that's such a great way for people to get into this business, is to think outside the box like that. You don't have to go, you know, have great credit, have a ton of money down. You don't.
I think what you said there, maybe a lot of people didn't hear that quite right. Talk 10%, listen 90%.
Yes.
So true on so many different aspects in life.
Right.
You're talking 10%, listening 90%, that's going to get you so much farther than the opposite or trying to share in the conversation as well. Because
yes,
you, especially when you're in the position of what you're doing, Jesse, you're trying to get to find the sellers. What's their motivation? So
if they want to move, great. How do we make it happen? Right. Yep. We have enough, you know, options to make it happen, but what's the motivation and what is their hot button? And it's so funny that people just start throwing out numbers and they just want to get things down on their script. And, you know, it's like, well, where are they going to go? Oh, I don't know where they're going to go. Well, do they need money from this property to buy the next place? Do they have a mortgage? Do you have to pay off this mortgage? Can they qualify with the next one? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Those are all things you need to know. And then you need to be a couple steps ahead of the game, right? And that doesn't happen right when you're brand new. It doesn't. But it, you know, it comes from having a mentor, having a coach, and just having those conversations. And I love it when you get to the point where you're so confident in your business, you can be 2-3 steps ahead, because I already know if I ask them X and they say, you know, this or this, I've got my answer for that and I've got my answer for this. But I need to know which direction they're going, you know, to have a solution for it. But my wife's not back there, because she might not agree with me in the 90-10. But when I'm on the phone with the seller, I'll tell you what, I'm pretty cognizant of it then.
That's even important.
Maybe not always at home.
But in a relationship, that's important. It doesn't matter what's important. The listening is so, so important. Can you just shut up sometimes and let other people talk and tell their story versus always telling your own? Here I am talking, trying to, you know, let you tell your story. But I try to do that even on the podcast. Is I would rather not take control of the podcast and just let you take control.
Well, and it's amazing what you'll get out of folks too when you let them talk, right? You get half the answers. You just let them talk.
Yeah.
You know, and there's and here's the thing too, right? Anyone who's been in sales long enough, you know, there's power in silence, and there's power in whoever speaks first, right? You know, we've got some folks on the team, and we're doing some calls and doing some coaching, and say, hey, you do not say the first number. You let them say the first number. Right. And then you go from there. Just negotiate, you know, negotiating 101. But everyone has a need. What is their need? And if there is no solution and it doesn't make sense, I'm so sorry. We part as friends. I wish you the best of luck and, you know, hope things work out. Move on to the next.
Yeah, that's a good point. Cause some people are just trying to fish for you to make them an offer. They don't have maybe a motivation. They just, who knows? There's all kinds of different scenarios. So sometimes it's just not worth trying to fight for a solution.
Yeah, no. There's always more leads out there. Yeah. Yep.
Well, awesome. What are three key factors to your success or your team's success?
I guess, honestly, number one, I think, is attitude. I'm really blessed to be between my mortgage partners and my real estate partners. I have an awesome team that I'm really blessed to be a part of. And, you know, I chose them, they chose me, but everybody comes in every day like, hey, whatever we want to make happen, it's in our hands. It's in our power to make happen. It really is. And you have failures and you have setbacks and you have challenges and you got to learn from it, you know. If you're not learning from it, then you're doing something wrong and it's going to happen. So how do we get past that? How do we do a better job? So I think attitude is definitely number one. Persistence, number two. My wife was here. She would definitely agree with that. persistence is key. And boy, I think number three would probably be attitude, persistence, and just hard work, you know? That sounds kind of like a cheesy three you hear a lot, but I mean, really, right? You're not going to get the life that you could have and what you deserve by, you know, clocking out at 4:30 every day, starting at 8 or 9.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to work on it. And maybe you can get there, you know, get to the I quadrant and get your money working for you. And, you know, but that doesn't start off that way, right? You got to work pretty damn hard to get there first.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that. What's a favorite book that either you're reading right now or that you've really enjoyed, you know, helping you out in your business path?
Yeah, actually, I'm reading two right now. So Clockwork, this guy's got some good stuff. Mike Michaelitz, might be botching his name, but he's got The Pumpkin Plan and Profit First. And that's his new one. That's a very good one. And then I'm a big Brendan Burchard fan as well. He's got some really great stuff. And so High Performance Habits is one of his newest books. You know, because so much of this, right? I mean, we're in the business world. We're entrepreneurs. We're in real estate. We're finance. But at the end of the day, it's your body. It's your health. It's what you put in. It's how you take care of yourself. And,
yeah,
you know, you can't have those 12, 15 hour days if you're not putting the right fuel in and not taking care of yourself, which is all about balance, right? I don't know where you're at with that, but I can't be a balance coach yet. I try. It's on my mind, but.
Yeah. I guess I'm probably about the same. You know, I get it. I know it. And then sometimes you still struggle. So.
Yeah.
Last question before we wrap up, what are your three pillars of wealth creation?
Three pillars of wealth creation.
Yeah, and answer that however you perceive that question.
I would say number one, and I'm guilty as charged on this. I've gotten better. Know your money, right? Mm. Know where your money is going. Because I've always been I've been lucky. I've been a sales guy, right? I can always go make more, but spending it and watching it, holy cow, right? When you're in a fixed budget, fixed income, it's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But know where your money's going, because, you know, if you set up multiple accounts and you can see, holy crap, we're spending $1,000 a month on eating out and just stupid stuff. You got to know that first, and then you can realize how bad that is, and that could be going into your assets. So I think, you know your money, watch your numbers. Number two, you have to have a goal, and you have to have it written down, and you have to pay attention to it. Not once a year, not twice a year. You know, Grant Cardone style, look at it three times a day, every single time you're looking at more. But if you're not paying attention to what you want and descriptive, and super clear, it's not going to happen, right? And what is wealth, right? Wealth to you, wealth to me, wealth to the guy down the street, that's three different things.
Yep.
So what does that mean? And it doesn't have to be monetary, you know? Some people would be fine making 60 grand a year if they don't ever have to check in and they can do it from a laptop around the world. And other folks say 60,000, I need, you know, add another zero on that or add two more zeros. So it's whatever you need for your life and your family. But maybe number three, don't stop learning. Don't ever stop learning. And that's what it's fun. I mean, number one, no one knows everything about everything all the time. And if you do, you're not very fun to hang out with. Nobody wants to hang out with that guy. There's always more to learn and to share and give back, but there's, something you pick up from everybody, everything.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, great. I definitely appreciate the time. Tons of value you've added. Great examples as well. Jesse, how can our listeners get in touch with you?
So I'm on all social media platforms, Instagram, The Jesse Mills, T-H-E, Jesse Mills. That's probably one of the best ways to connect with me. If anyone has any questions about anything we've discussed, financing, mortgages, creative real estate. I love to help people with this business. Again, it's kind of this weird little niche I fell into, and I like So calljesse.net, www.calljesse.net. And I'd be happy to speak with anybody that way as well.
Awesome. Again, I appreciate you being on the show, taking time out of your day, and hope you got to have a great rest of the day.
Hey, you too, man. I appreciate it very much. Thank you for having me.
Hey, special thanks to Jesse Mills for joining us on the show. Appreciate him taking time out of his day to spend with us. A few things I took from this episode. First of all, is know where your money is going. Know what your money is doing. Know where it's going. So that's really important. Next thing is he talks about having a written goal, and then not just having that written goal, but always having that in front of you, always looking at it, reading it, and making sure you're working towards it. The last thing he talked about is to never stop learning, and obviously very important. Hopefully, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, and I'm sure others, you are always continually learning. So that's really important. Make sure you're learning. Make sure you're listening to podcasts, audibles, or reading books, going to conferences, all that kind of good stuff is definitely going to help you along the way. So thanks again for joining us, Jesse. Appreciate the time he was able to spend with us and the value he brought to our show. Say go on to iTunes if you haven't already. If you haven't given our show a rating and review, specifically it's on iTunes. So if you listen to it somewhere else, everything's a little bit different, but most of them don't have the rating review system that iTunes has. And iTunes is kind of the power force behind the podcast. But anyways, if you go on to iTunes and give us a rating review, hopefully 5 stars, that would be very much appreciated. That helps us get the word out even more, reach more listeners. So if you can do that, that would be awesome. Also, feel free to join our Facebook page and add some value there. You know, give us comments. Tell us what you think. Tell us what kind of questions you have. Anything like that, let's have a discussion. Go on to our Facebook page, our Pillars of Wealth Facebook page, and join that as well. So I'm Todd Dexheimer, signing out. Make every day Saturday. Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars. To claim your free course today.